We need to stop treating public servants as costs and start treating them as investments. This is a fundamental change that government has to make and that senior managers, in my view, have to embrace to get it right about our public sector workforce. We spend a total of $700 billion a year on people. Now, that's salaries, it's benefits, and it's all the people that we're also buying through the private sector. That's the equivalent of a TARP every 12 months. It's an extraordinary investment. It's 25% of the total federal budget. And yet, when you look at our investment in making that asset productive, it's less than a third of the private sector level of investment. I'm thinking specifically here about training. So it's wildly out of balance, and we need to fix it.
That's Scott Gould, the new Deputy Secretary at the Veterans Affairs Department. Gould also is the co-author of a new book called The People Factor, Strengthening America by Investing in the Public Sector. He and Linda Bilmes, a former Commerce Department CFO and currently a professor at Harvard's Kennedy School for Government, calls for several changes to the way agencies deal with employees. Gould says the book is split into three sections.
Our book is fundamentally about strategy and execution, those two things together. And those of you who have read Peter Drucker know that one of his favorite expressions in describing strategy is the idea that we don't try to create something brand new, something whole cloth, but we instead try to discover the thing which has already been invented and apply it in a new way. And essentially the story that Linda has told you this morning is the story of applying what we know works in the private sector, justified by returns on total shareholder value, the creation of that additional wealth by investing in people.
Gould and Bilmes offered some insight into their book Tuesday at the National Academy for Public Administration in Washington. Gould says the Obama administration and Congress should spend $21 billion over the next decade to address these human capital issues. And part of that is what they're calling a new GI Bill for civil servants. Bilmes says the bill would address employees' most pressing need, localized training.
That would be implemented at community colleges around the country. Of course, 85% of federal workers are not in Washington but are scattered all over the country, and so we see the need for a training and development of curriculum all over the country for people in many different kinds of disciplines, but particularly focusing on leadership skills, on management skills, on supervisory skills, on network skills, communication skills, career and performance evaluation skills.
I caught up with Bilmes after the event. She says training is one key way organizations become high-performing ones.
We found that in high-performing organizations, training is a way of life. If you think about what the military does in terms of training, military enlistees through military officers are trained all the time. They're trained every week, they're trained every month, they're trained every year. That is not seen as some kind of a perk or some kind of a special benefit. That is seen as an absolutely core method of ensuring that we have a collection of individually capable people working in the military. If you look at almost any kind of profession, whether it's the medical profession, the accounting profession, the architecture profession, dentistry, any profession, there is a credentialing process, an ongoing process of training, which is required. It's mandatory to update skills. We have not done that in government. We have looked at training as some kind of a perk. It's not a perk. It's absolutely fundamental.
She points to the Defense Logistics Agency as an example of a federal high-performing organization. DLA saw the benefits of addressing not just their training issues, but their entire HR approach.
They undertook a transformation program based on the people factor principles in which they completely revamped their hiring system, cutting it down from 114 days to 50 days. They began an investment in training, which has particularly emphasized on training supervisors and managers, but everyone in that organization from a GS9 level and up receives extensive training, career training, training that is targeted to specific skills that they need to develop, as well as overall career advancement. And there has been a kind of root and branch reform in the mindset of the organization around maximizing the performance of each individual.
Bilmes says the book calls for several long-term fixes to the federal HR system, but training can immediately make a difference. The other changes include instilling a sense of entrepreneurship among employees that offers them flexibility and versatility. Gould says the book points out several key players required to update the federal HR system. They include the White House, Congress, employees, employee unions, good government organizations, and the Office of Personnel Management. But the real test of the Obama administration's commitment to updating the federal HR system will be at the end of this month, Gould says.
The first thing, in my view, is a very tough test, and that is the 2010 and 2011 budget. So to the extent that agencies believe that this is something worth investing in, they have to show it in the budget process.
He adds that agencies also will need to have a plan for improving HR, and the federal employee community needs to speak out as well. Bilmes adds there seems to be momentum and a willingness to address these HR issues.
Everything that we have enacted in the last few months, we have enacted major reforms in the financial sector. We are at the brink of enacting major reforms in the environment, in the healthcare sector, and there are major other reforms to follow. I think that the seriousness of what government needs to do has changed the way we think about government. I think that the attitude of government workers being sort of custodians but not being innovators, not being leaders, is going to change.
Gould realizes he is in position to make these changes at VA, but since he is not officially sworn in until today, Gould says he did not feel comfortable talking about some of the changes he envisions at his agency. But with all the discussion about hiring more federal employees from the Defense Department on down, these human resource issues are expected to remain near the top of the administration's and Congress's agenda. Jason Miller, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.